Welcome to Stock Talk, the new Stockhouse podcast series that brings you behind-the-scenes insights into trending topics from capital markets, influencers, and entrepreneurs, broadcasting from the heart of the financial district in beautiful downtown Vancouver.
Welcome to the Stock Talk Technology Podcast, where we help listeners and investors understand more about investment opportunities in capital markets. I'm Dave Jackson. It's unfortunate but true. The real world today is not always a safe place. Deadly shootings have become all too common in news headlines. The ability of military and law enforcement agencies to interdict potential lethal threats is a continuing battle in and of itself, a battle that is not always won by the good guys. But an emerging Canadian-based tech company is creating and providing the critical information to persons who are legally permitted to respond to these threats before shooting begins. First Responder Technologies, Inc. is developing technology that can detect concealed weapons using commercial Wi-Fi to help prevent mass shootings and terrorist attacks, part of what it refers to as its layered defense strategy. Today, we're joined by company's Chief Executive Officer, Robert Delamar, to learn more about First Responder's safety-first corporate vision and unique business model. Thanks for joining us, Robert.
Oh, thanks for having me here.
Well, for our listeners that may be learning about your company for the first time, can you please give us a little bit of a background history about yourself and, you know, an overview of your operations?
Well, my preference is to talk about the company and not myself, because that's really the star of the show. The company was founded by a gentleman who was formerly a member of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. He was a Mountie. He left the force and has been involved in venture capital here in the public safety space. He founded another company in the public safety and security space that was a big success. And he recognized the opportunity that there's a need for disruption in the public safety and security space. And that led to the creation of First Responder Technologies as a platform to develop innovative public safety and security technologies that can be utilized to take some of the stuff that's happening in places like Silicon Valley and really make the world a better place. And this company was created specifically to help enable that.
Now, earlier this year, First Responder completed a license from Rutgers University to develop its Wi-Fi line of detection products. Can you tell us how this strategic partnership came about and its core advantages?
I appreciate the opportunity to speak about this core innovation. And as I mentioned previously, First Responder Technologies is a platform for the development of technologies. The Rutgers opportunity came about where a really interesting innovation was introduced to the marketplace by way of a safety and security conference that was hosted by the IEEE. IEEE is a standards organization that does things like, for example, set the standard for the Wi-Fi standard 802.11. It's the Professional Association of Electrical Engineers, and many of the people that are involved in the IEEE, many of the folks that were involved in the early core development of the internet. There's an organization called WinLab, which is a research investment lab as part of Rutgers University. And the associate director of WinLab, Dr. Jennifer Chen, and her team discovered that you could use channel state information and a Wi-Fi signal to detect dangerous materials. And that was the start of our journey. She published that paper. She and her team published the paper, and it won an IEEE best paper in 2018. That was a big deal. It received a lot of press. And Mr. Malhi, our chairman and founder, learned about that innovation, had had some success bringing disruptive technologies to market in the public safety and security space, and realized this could be a game changer. He approached Rutgers and inquired about licensing the technology, and here we are today, a year and a half later, roughly.
Great. Now, with the cost of using commercial Wi-Fi being considerably lower compared to X-ray-based security systems currently used in airports, sports stadiums, and some museums, your technology could be a game changer for public safety. So can you unpack this for investors, Robert?
Yeah, no, it's a really interesting comment. You mentioned that commercial Wi-Fi is lower cost, and that's right. That's why we think it is potentially a game changer, because essentially, to summarize the benefits of Wi-Fi, Wi-Fi uses unlicensed spectrum. So you can deploy a Wi-Fi antenna and utilize that spectrum without a license. And so being able to do this allows for a faster and hopefully cheaper set of chips and antennas. And so doing that, deploying a system whose constituent parts are cheaper allows for presumably a faster deployment to market, a faster development cycle. And ultimately, because you don't need a license to deploy your antenna for the purposes of detecting dangerous weapons, theoretically, you will have, and this is the opportunity, the ability to deploy a wide sensor network, which would be able to detect dangerous weapons using Wi-Fi. So faster market because Wi-Fi is a well-understood technology, has wide acceptance of the market, utilizing unlicensed spectrum. And the chipsets and the antennas are hopefully there in a fashion that we'll be able to deliver our product to the market faster than some of our competitors have been able to do so to date.
You've mentioned that the company will be working on a system to tag persons who are not hostile. You know, perfect example where possible false positives could be present. Can you elaborate on this technology?
Yeah, so false positives are a fact of life for any detection system. And where I would give the competition credit, and I think it's very important here to make it clear, our system is one component of a layered defense system. And a layered defense system can have a cheaper, good enough detection system like the one we're proposing utilizing Wi-Fi. So again, Wi-Fi may not be able to detect with 100% accuracy, 100% of the time, a dangerous threat. But if you can, for the very first time, deploy a system, say, for example, the perimeter of a soft target like a church or a theater or a synagogue or a mosque or a shopping center, on the outside of a building, and you can do that in a wide array, meaning you can actually implement a large number of these sensors, then you've got a first step toward detection. So we are then part of a broader system where, say, for example, some of the other systems which may have a finer detection ability, so they can look with more granularity at the materials that are being carried by a person, that might be important before somebody gets on a plane. You have to detect everything before somebody gets on a plane, for example, just given the nature of the threat. Whereas right now, a church or a synagogue or a mosque or a theater or a shopping center, it has nothing except for, say, for example, a surveillance camera. So just being able to provide the detection of the weapon before the person enters the premises is a game changer, because something exists now that can do good enough security, whereas there was nothing before. And something is better than nothing in this case. As part of that system, one of the proposed solutions that we are considering to reduce false positives is, for example, to tag, so to allow the system to know that a person that's on site, that's an on-site security guard, or the local sheriff's department, these are good people and they should be carrying guns through this sensor set.
Well, it seems to be almost like technological clairvoyance. In a sense,
it's actually just simple material detection. That's the interesting thing about it. An electromagnetic sensor will be able to look and as a body carrying a weapon passes through a field and say, oh, there's some material density and shape that is potentially threatening. And then there's a machine learning algorithm. So we're basically using AI to train up a system to say, and by the way, in this format with this person at this time, you should take a look at that person after they pass through the sensor.
Amazing. Now, your deck says, and I'm going to quote here,
yep,
Wi-Fi based detection possesses multiple competitive advantages to competing technologies. Can you explain on what really sets first responder apart from the competition at this level?
Yeah, so I've alluded to it previously and I'll restate it. The key thing is that Wi-Fi, because we're intending to use unlicensed spectrum, this means we should be able to deploy faster and use cheaper existing chips and antennas, making our solution the best option for mass deployment to protect soft targets. Competitive systems detect everything and are expensive. We are limited to detecting the worst harms, what we call good enough security.
Right.
So that's weapons, so firearms, larger knives, for example, although we may not be able to catch a smaller knife. Mm. Again, good enough security. Protecting a soft target, providing a layer of defense where there wasn't one before. These advantages should then allow for wider deployment than the competition, because cheaper generally means wider deployment. And of course, that's a more significant opportunity to save lives. The numbers, for example, are the number of soft targets, for example, in the United States alone. And there are thousands of churches and places of worship. There are hundreds of theaters. There are hundreds of stadia, for example. So this is where being able to provide a faster, better, cheaper solution should allow us to provide a wider detection network, of course, that allows us to capture more harms.
Great. Now, the company recently attended the International Security Exposition, Homeland Security and Public Safety Trade Show and Conference in London, England. Can you give us an update on the event?
Yes, the events were very successful from the perspective of going to the market and identifying real persons who are tasked with public safety, whether it's a bureaucrat or a local security company, whether it's a company in the general security ecosystem, everything from systems integrators to other equipment vendors whom we would integrate with to form a full layer defense system. We were able to identify and speak with quite literally hundreds of persons, and we were able to secure, again, hundreds of individual contacts from around the world, essentially people from every single continent who in various parts of the ecosystem expressed some interest in the product. Mm-hmm. And we've begun to follow up on those commercial relationships now. And our goal, again, is to have use those relationships, use the monies that we've generated from our IPO to deliver the prototype of the product this year and to begin real serious alpha testing, to get real world experience with the product in advance of 2021, where we anticipate at the end of 2021, we'll have a version 1.0 product.
Now, can you elaborate on any upcoming partnerships, agreements, LOIs, et cetera, that may be of interest to investors?
I could, but I can't.
I always have to try.
No doubt.
So as the threat detection technology sector gains more and more traction internationally, how do you see your company as a game changer within the current marketplace status quo? And if so, how do you create a competitive advantage for the company moving forward?
I think speed is the key. I am hesitant to always use the word opportunity when we're talking about the public and just the staggering number of mass shootings that exist, for example, in the United States. Right now, we're tracking, I think, the sixth mass shooting of the year. As of it's early January already. In 2019, there were 417 mass shootings in the United States alone. Call it what it is. This is domestic terror.
Yep.
In the international context, international terrorism, when we think of events like, for example, the massacre in France in 2015, killed more than 100 people on the streets and in theaters in Paris. I don't want to call it a competitive advantage. I would just say this: having a good enough sensor network that enables a first responder to have better information and analytics before a mass shooting occurs. So we detect a weapon on the perimeter of a premises and send a message to either on-site security personnel or a first responder to say, hey, a weapon has been detected. And just to provide even an imperfect detection solution, it's better than what exists now, which in many cases for places where the public congregates, the solution is essentially nothing.
Well, when you think about it, saving lives is probably the most ethical investment any investor can make.
Precisely. It feels really good to wake up in the morning and go to work and work really, really hard with my team on this project because we know that it has a direct ability to save lives.
Yeah, amazing. Now, finally, can you tell our audience a little bit about your corporate management team, along with the experience and innovative ideas they bring to the security tech space?
I love to brag about the team because this is a group of people, incredibly dedicated group of people who work the long hours, that do the typical kind of startup, late nights and early mornings and on your email at all hours of the day and flying to meet investors and potential customers around the world and doing it in a way where sometimes I wonder if they ever sleep and I'm grateful for the effort they put in. Particular, I'm thinking of our chief technology officer, Mr. Naresh Singhal. Naresh and I worked together. He was the head of engineering at another company that I led. It was an early stage technology company that developed streaming technology back in the teens, in the last decade. And so I've had the pleasure of working with Naresh. He is a really excellent product-oriented engineering professional. And so he's really the guy that I could get an email from any time of the day from anywhere in the world, working really, really hard to solve this problem. Inside the company, we have military experience. Our vice president of operations is an ex-US military naval officer. And then on our advisory board, we have everyone from Canada's former Minister for Public Safety, the Honorable Stockwell Day, to Canada's first female RCMP commissioner, former RCMP commissioner, Bev Bussin. We have a technical team, a deep bench, where, for example, Dr. Kelly Sundberg is a noted expert in the area of environmental criminology. So he actually studies the design of safe buildings with the goal of building safer public buildings so that you can save lives. Another deep technology technologist that we're really, really lucky to work with is Dr. Steve DiPaolo. He works with the iViz Lab at SFU. He's a noted international expert on artificial intelligence. So I can say this, I am A, the dumbest person on the team, and B, the most blessed to get up and work with these incredibly smart people every single day on a project that I think is deeply meaningful for those of us that are participating in and hopefully will result in a product that will change the world.
Well, I want to thank you for coming in and sharing this very, very important information. It's been a pleasure having you, Robert.
Thank you so very much for having us.
We've been speaking with Robert Delamar, CEO of First Responder Technologies. I'd like to once again thank Robert for joining us and sharing his helpful and insightful information about First Responder with our Stockhouse podcast listeners and investors. Once again, for Stockhouse Media and the Stock Talk Tech Podcast, I'm Dave Jackson. Thanks for listening.
Just a reminder to follow us on social media at Stockhouse for the latest updates on all your favorite public companies in North America. For more in-depth coverage, industry news, and to connect with our active investor community, you can visit our website at stockhouse.com. Also, don't forget to visit our new and improved Stockhouse Dealroom on site for unique and exclusive private placement opportunities only available on stockhouse.com.